and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. Unseal the
welcome you to worship at Weisberg. Whether you are joining us online or in the worship center, we're excited that you're here. Our desire is for you to encounter Jesus and experience life change. If you are new or visiting, you are our honored guest. Help us get to know you better by filling out the Connect card in the back of the pew. For anyone coming to the service with prayer requests or praises, share those with us on the back side of the card. Simply place the Connect card in the offering plate during our time of giving. It is our desire that you join with other believers in a life group, and we would like to help you get plugged in. You can learn more about life groups and other ministry opportunities online at WeisbergBaptist.org.
Worship God together.
Worship God.
Worship God.
Worshiped God together.
What if every generation worshiped God together, expecting Him to move?
Glory, glory, glory.
boys and girls, how much we appreciate them very, very much. And also, Julie Cook, the leader of our children's choir, let's give her a big hand and let her know we appreciate her very much as well. Hey, why don't you stand up for a moment, take a quick minute to greet one another, turn around, say hello to someone. I'll bring you back together in just a moment. This way, our youth ensemble is going to be getting in the choir loft at this time. They're going to be helping us this morning. It's really been a very intergenerational time this morning. The children sang in the early service, the ensemble sang in the early service, and then tonight we have the hanging of the green. How many of you are looking forward to that? Yeah, it's going to be a great time. If you've never been to one of our Hanging of the Green services, you don't want to miss it. It's a powerful, powerful time of worship and a tremendous opportunity together. So I hope you'll take advantage of that opportunity. I want you to notice in your bulletin that you can look at the upcoming opportunities. For example, tonight, the Hanging of the Green service begins at what time? 6:30. Says right here, 6:30. And also Winterlude, which is an incredible orchestral, four grand pianos, just a tremendous opportunity for worship on Sunday night, December the 15th. It also begins at 6:30. And then we have our Christmas Eve service at 5 p.m. Lots of opportunities to invite and encourage others. But we begin our service today celebrating the Lord. And now we're going to see the Lord put on in believers' baptism. So I want us to pray. You be seated. We'll turn our attention to the baptistry and then our ensemble will sing. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. We praise you and adore you and thank you that we have the privilege to worship and to give you praise and glory and honor. Thank you for these little boys and girls that lift their voices up to you. I thank you, God, for the students that sing in our student choir, in our student ensemble. Lord, would you use this morning as they sing before us and prepare our hearts to use them in a mighty and in a powerful way. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your attention to the baptistry.
Good morning, church. We have the amazing opportunity to celebrate with my friend and brother in Christ, Justin Tipton, this morning on his public profession of faith in Christ through believer's baptism. Justin, do you have anything to declare this morning?
Just praise the Lord, for he is good.
Amen. Amen. Well, it is a privilege and an honor on that profession of faith to baptize you, my friend and brother in Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism. Newness of life. Good job, dude.
Follow that star, go far and wide. 26 through 33. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent out from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Now, Jennifer, no pressure, but you now are going to light the candle of faith. Great job. So Jennifer and I have been blessed with five great kids. We spend a good bit of our time driving them to activities, shopping for clothes, and providing meals at our home. The greatest desire, however, is to live the life of Christ in front of them.
In this process of pointing them to Jesus, we attempt to answer a lot of questions they have. We're glad that they are curious about faith and the ways of God. Can you imagine the curiosity of Mary being a virgin when the angel came to her and said, "You will be with child"?
But God is good. Through the angel Gabriel, he explained the beginning of the mystery and miracle of the virgin birth. The name of this miracle would be Jesus.
And Mary asked the angel, "How would this birth be since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be called the Son of God." Luke 1, 34 and 35.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the birth of Jesus really is amazing. Thank you for taking the time to explain to Mary this wonderful news that she would give birth to our Savior and Redeemer. This explanation gave her comfort and encouraged her to live by faith. And today your word continues to build our faith, and it's our prayer, just like Mary, to trust you with all our heart. Amen.
When Christ came, the Bible says that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. When Jesus came in Bethlehem, he came for a divine, distinct purpose. And one of the great joys is that we are the voice and the presence of God. As Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, we have the privilege of going and sharing the gospel with the world. And I want you to go ahead and be seated this morning. And in a moment, you're going to watch a video about one of our missionaries that's out of Whitesburg Baptist Church. Next Sunday morning, we're going to be receiving our annual Whitesburg Missions offering. 80% of that offering goes to the International Mission Board for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. 20% goes to the mission partnerships and missional strategies that we do through our local church with our missions team, mission committee. And so as you pray about what God's going to lead you to do next week, I want you to listen to this young missionary who grew up here, was called out of here, and is serving God in a very difficult spot. Listen to this story. I'm going to pray then, and then we'll continue in singing as we receive our offering.
Hi, Whitesburg family. I'm here in a country that is 99% Muslim. Most of the people here have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel in a way that they could understand and then respond to. But I've seen God working here through your generosity and through your prayers. This year, I've seen two of my friends turn from their backgrounds and put their faith in Jesus Christ. I've seen a church planted. I've seen hundreds of gospel materials passed out and hundreds of gospel conversations happen. So I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Thank you for your support of this work. In Romans, Paul says, how can they call on someone that they've never heard of? How can they hear unless someone is preaching? And how can they preach unless they're sent? So thank you for sending me. Thank you for supporting me here.
Aren't you grateful God raises up young people to go out and serve Him and spread the gospel in even hard places? I want us to pray for that young lady and as she serves in the Middle East in a very hard place to serve. And I want us to pray that we'll be the messengers that God wants us to be right here in our own city. God, we thank You for this testimony. We thank You for the challenge. We pray, God, that You will use this and, God, that Your Holy Spirit will strengthen us. We pray, God, that as we prepare our hearts to give our offering this morning, that You'll already be preparing our hearts for our missions offering next week as well. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Come behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree, in the stead. Some measured love unto
be seated this morning and take your Bible out and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And we began last week a study on the doctrine of the incarnation, studying about what is so important about the fact that God came in the flesh. And this year we're calling this Mystery and Miracle. There is a miracle related to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's also a mystery that surrounds it. Today we're going to pick up, and I'm going to be looking at this miracle explained. Several years ago, you know, Huntsville's known as the Rocket City. And years ago, Huntsville was very, very involved in putting man on the moon. And when Neil Armstrong was the first man to walk on the moon, at that time, one of our leading politicians actually made the statement, man walking on the moon is the greatest event in human history. Now, it was a great event, but the truth of the matter is, it was not the greatest event of human history. The truth is that when God in heaven chose to come from heaven to earth in the form of a baby in Bethlehem, and God set his feet in the flesh on planet earth, that is the greatest moment in human history. Do you agree with that this morning? Well, this morning, as we look at this, I want us to take this text that was just read by the DeWald family, Scott sharing with us the surprise messenger that came to see Mary. You'll notice in verse 26 that it says to us that now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. We read the story of the angelic announcement to Mary that she was going to be pregnant and have a child. Now, I want you to turn to verse 34, and I'm going to read through verse 38, and we're going to see what the scripture says about the miracle explained. Picking up in verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I can't begin to imagine what it must have been like to have that kind of a surprise visitor at your house. I know how many of us feel. You know what happens whenever somebody knocks on the door unexpectedly? What we do is we hurry up and we try to clean up, or when we open the door, we say something like this. We say, it's normally not like this. I'll never forget, I was picking up a pastor of a very large church in Houston, Texas, that has passed away and gone home to be with the Lord, but he was a great man of God, and I'd asked him to come preach at my church in Tennessee, and I went to pick him up that night to go to dinner, and then we were going to come to the church for the meeting, and he and his wife were there at the hotel, and he opened the door, and I mean, it was one of the, it looked like they'd been living in there for a month. And he opened the door, and honest to goodness, he looked at me, and he looked back at the room, and he said, "Daryl, somebody must have broken in and made a mess in our room." But you know how it is when people show up unexpected, we feel a little bit awkward. I can't imagine what Mary must have felt like to have this angelic messenger show up and say, "You're going to be pregnant, you're going to have a son, and his name shall be called the Son of God. He is Jesus, God in the flesh." Now, when you read this story, Mary responded to the angelic explanation with confidence and genuine faith that God can do anything. And as we walk through the explanation of the virgin birth of Jesus and this miracle of his incarnation, I hope that when we leave here today, what you leave here with is that you have a confidence, an absolute overwhelming confidence in your heart and in your life that God can do absolutely anything. So in verse 34, we're going to pick up with what happens. And you notice, first of all, that the angel's explanation of the incarnation of Jesus was a response to a very real question that Mary had. Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be?" Now, I want to make a statement to you that I think is important. It is okay to ask God questions when you have things you don't understand. Mary asked this angelic messenger, "How in the world is this going to happen?" Now, the reason that she asked this is because there were two things that were very important about what she was asking. First of all, she was considering all of the facts. If you'll notice in verse 27 of this first chapter, the angelic messenger was called by God to go to a city called Nazareth to what? A virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. Then in the latter part of the verse, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now the word virgin that's used there is an important word. Some have translated it handmaiden or young maiden. The word can carry also the idea of chaste or someone that's not married. But the idea is a young woman who has not had physical intimacy relationship with a man. But if you go down to verse 34, it's very interesting because when Mary asked the question, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" The New American Standard Bible translates this as virgin, but it's actually three Greek words. And literally what Mary says, she doesn't use the same word that's used in verse 27. Here's what she uses. She says, "How is this going to be? Because I have never known a man." Literally, she's saying, "I have never had intimate physical relations with a man." So when Mary asks the question, within her paradigm or her way of thinking, Mary could not comprehend how she was going to be pregnant with child when she had never had a physical relationship with a man. She was considering the facts at hand. Now, it's important what we believe about the virgin birth, because the virgin birth will probably reveal your attitude about the supernatural. It will reveal your worldview, and it will also reveal your view of God's relationship to the world. So when Mary asks her question, it was a response that the angel gave to a real question. Mary was considering the fact, "I'm a virgin." The second thing was, she was probably contemplating her fate. I can't begin to imagine the things that must have been going through Mary's mind. What's Joseph going to think? What is my family going to say? What are other people going to think about me? What about all the dreams for my future that I had? What is that going to look like? I want you to understand. Sometimes in life, because of the limited ability we have, the Bible says God's ways are not our ways, His thoughts are not our thoughts, and we are finite, God is infinite. Sometimes the things that God does or the things that God says, within our human limited ability, we often consider what we consider to be the facts, and we often contemplate the fate of what will occur if these things happen, and we cannot always thoroughly understand what's taking place. But I can assure you, it's always okay to ask God a question. The angel's response to Mary was a response to a real question. But his response, listen to this, was a revelation of a very real event. That's the second thing in this text. The angel did not attempt to give a scientific explanation, No, as a matter of fact, rather than trying to give a scientific explanation, what the angel does is offers a statement of description and literally gives heaven's perspective on what's going to occur. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I do not believe that the Bible is in conflict or contradiction of science. But science is always catching up to what the Bible already says, and the scripture is true, and God has given us science as a gift. But sometimes in this age of skepticism that we live in and a world of scientific discovery, we're always looking for a human explanation as to why or how something occurred, because we don't really think that God works miraculously. Well, let's go back to Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. If you can go back to Genesis 1 and the scripture says, in the beginning, God, and the Bible teaches us that God spoke into existence everything that there is, then ultimately, if you can get on board that God can do that, then you can come to the reality that God can do anything that God wants to do. So let's look at this description. First of all, the very first thing that the angel says after Mary asks the question, how can this be since I'm a virgin? So the angel answers and says, in a response that is a revelation of a real event, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Now the word for come upon is an interesting word, because it is the same word that is used in Acts chapter 1 and in verse 8 when the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon the disciples of Jesus on the day of Pentecost. In other words, what this messenger is doing is, rather than giving a descriptive explanation point by point, physically and scientifically, he is giving a spiritual description of a reality that is a work of Almighty God. When he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, he was speaking about God's presence described and the fact that God acts very purposefully. But he follows it up by not only saying the Holy Spirit will come upon you, he also says the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now this is speaking about God's power demonstrated and how God acts and chooses to act in a very sovereign way. The word that's used in this phrase, overshadow, suggests God's powerful presence that would rest upon Mary, so that she would bear a child who will be the Son of God. Nothing is really said about how this will happen. It is a description of what will occur. So the explanation of the angel was intended to make sure that Mary knew this was a very real event that was going to occur. So he says it like this: the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And then he says, for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. Now, this phrase is speaking about God's prophecy delivered, and it's reminding us that not only does God act purposefully, but God acts redemptively. Now, I want to explain to you why the virgin birth of Jesus is so important. In Romans chapter 5, the Bible teaches us that the sin nature is passed on in humanity through the lineage of a father. And the very fact that Jesus did not have an earthly father, but was divinely conceived in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible is telling us that the sin nature was not passed on to Jesus that would have normally been passed on to any other human being, that he is fully God and he is fully man. Listen to this. And because he is the sinless, perfect Son of Almighty God, he has the ability and the authority to pay perfectly and eternally the redemptive cost, to pay the penalty for our sins. What does he say? He says in this passage, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. This is a revelation of a real event where God is acting powerfully, God is acting purposefully, and God is acting redemptively. But if you go down to verse 37, notice what it says. For nothing will be impossible with God. So what is it saying? It's saying that God's promise is declared. But the angel is also saying that God acts miraculously. Do you believe God can still do miracles today? See, I think sometimes we believe there's a God in heaven and Jesus is his son, but, you know, he's powerful, but he doesn't seem to do the things that he used to do. The fact of the matter is, God is moving miraculously all over the world, and sometimes we don't see it because we're not looking for God. God acts miraculously. And the angelic messenger is saying to Mary, Mary, you've got a really good question. That is a good question when you consider the facts and you contemplate your fate, what it's going to be like for a young woman to say, hey, I've never been with a man, but I'm pregnant. I'm going to have God's son. What in the world would that all mean? But the angel says, look, I want you to understand, God is working in you powerfully. God is working purposefully. God is working redemptively. And God is going to act upon you miraculously. Do you understand that when you come to faith in Jesus Christ and you are born again into the family of God, it is a miracle of God that occurs. When the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. We're not just talking about, like, you know, you go home and change shirts because you want to look different, or you cut your hair because you want a different style, or you know, whatever it is that you do to make yourself appear different. No, the Bible says that when you come to faith in Jesus, a miracle work of Almighty God has happened, and you're not even the same that you once were. You are a brand new creature that has never been seen in Christ Jesus. I like what MacArthur has said about this. Our minds cannot begin to understand what was in God's becoming a man. We will never comprehend why he who is infinitely rich would become poor, assume a human nature, enter into a world he knew would reject and kill him. Nor can anyone explain how God would become a baby. Yet, he did. This is a response to a very real question. It's a revelation of a very real event. But I want you to notice in verse 38 what Mary said. Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I love 1 Timothy 3:16. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. You know what Mary did? Mary responded to the angelic messenger with real faith. And that's what God wants you to do. God wants you to understand that according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And in verse 1 of that chapter, he says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're not saying that belief in Jesus and belief in the virgin birth and belief in the cross and the resurrection come with no background history and sound meaning. We're saying there's evidence for these biblical truths. There is historical evidence. There is is archaeological evidence. There is theological evidence. There is current evidence of the way God is changing lives. And with that, what we have to do at Christmas, we can't get caught up in this culture of Christmas in the way that we normally carry it out. We ought to stand in wonder and amazement that the God of heaven performed such a miracle and came from heaven to earth. See, real faith does three things. Real faith acknowledges. Mary said, "Behold, the bondservant of the Lord." When you and I get a real glimpse of who God is and what God can do, if we ever take a moment to step back and think about Christmas, and at the center of Christmas is the incarnation, that God came from heaven to earth by bringing about the birth of a baby and a virgin girl by the name of Mary, we stand in awe and we simply say, "You're God, and I'm not." Real faith acknowledges, but real faith also accepts. Let it be done to me. Mary accepted by faith whatever God said was going to happen in her life. She received it by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. But real faith not only acknowledges, and not only does real faith accept, but real faith acts. Notice what she says. "Behold, the bondservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your" what? "Word." Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And so when you and I obey the word of God, we are expressing faith in the person and reality of God, and we're saying that "You're God, I'm not. I accept what you've said to me, and I'm going to act on what you say because I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life." And what I really long for every single one of us this Christmas is to stand overwhelmed in the miracle and mystery of the birth of Jesus, and let our faith be on display to a world that needs to believe. One of my favorite books in my library was written by one of my very favorite people. She's dead now. She's gone to be with the Lord. She was a Southern Baptist missionary in Burma and India. Actually started being a missionary with her husband there before World War II. And her name is Beulah Dell Blanchard Hames. She was Hames when I met her. Her husband had died and she remarried, and she was a member of my church in Tennessee. But Beulah Dell, I mean, the epitome of a Southern lady. She wrote a book after she and her husband had served on the mission field called Remembering. And in that book, there's story after story after story of the miracles that God performed in their lives. For example, one day when her husband was out in the bush, she had a small child and then she had an infant, and she became seriously ill with malaria, violently ill, severe burning fever. She told the story that that when she became so distraught and overwhelmed, all she could think about during that fit of malaria was, "I just want something cold to drink. I just want something cold to drink." She said they used to have a refrigerator that was run on kerosene. I can't imagine a refrigerator that burns kerosene to keep food cold. But anyway, that was a long time ago. You engineers figure that out, right? She said when the Japanese came through during World War II, they took axes and destroyed our refrigerator. So for the last 5 years of their service on the mission field, they had no refrigeration. So they had no ice, they had nothing. And so she lay there suffering, and she heard a knock at the door. And at that time, a knock was really someone coughing outside. And so when the door was open, there was this local helper that worked for people that was standing there with a large wide mouth thermos filled with ice. This man didn't know she had been sick. She hadn't requested any ice. She hadn't asked anybody to do anything. She said, but God knew. And God spoke to the heart of a precious Lutheran missionary nearby that somehow Beulahdell might need some ice, and sent a thermos with ice over to Beulahdell. And there standing in her doorway was a man. Had no reason to understand why or know how, but God had brought her ice in a moment of her great need. That book's filled with those kinds of stories. At the end of the book, here's what she says. Lord, you are my sufficiency, my comforter, my ever-present friend. I shall always remember that. No, not alone. You are with me always. Your promise will always stand, for your word cannot be broken. I want you to embrace the miracle of the birth of Christ, and even all the mystery that surrounds it. But I want you to be inspired by this miracle wrapped in the mystery of the divine, and live by faith like Beulahdell. A real faith that acknowledges and says, Lord, you're God and I'm not. Real faith that says, Lord, your will in my life, not mine. Real faith that says, Lord, I'm going to obey your word even if it doesn't make sense to anyone else. Even if people think it's craziness or ludicrous or ridiculous. I mean, I think about this young lady, missionary, single adult, living in a Middle Eastern country by herself, taking the gospel to Muslims. I got to tell you, you know, you go home and you tell your parents that, and not every parent's like this, but there are those that would think, man, that's crazy. But if you really believe God can do anything, and you're his servant, you accept whatever God says, and you walk by faith in the Son of God. I want to see some ice cubes show up. I want to see dry rivers run with water. I want to see people set free from the bondage of sin and slavery and death. I want to see those that no one would ever dream fall in love with Jesus. I want to see the miracles of God that only He can do. Would you stand with me this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. What's God speaking into your life this morning? How's God challenging you to be a person of faith? Maybe this morning that you are going to be like some that have responded all week long, actually, and said, you know what, this is exactly the kind of church I need to be a part of. And you've been attending, but you've never placed your membership here and said, I commit myself to this body. Others of you that are here this morning, you say, Daryl, I don't have faith in Christ. I'm not a Christian, but I'd really like to talk with someone about how to know Christ. I want you to come. Take a pastor by the hand. We'll talk to you. No pressure. We're not going to pressure anyone. But there are many Christians here today that need to take their loved one, their spouse, their friend, a family member by the hand and say, let's go to the altar and let's commit our Christmas to the miracle of the incarnation. And let's elevate the miracle of God's birth so that we can live by faith this year. God, would you move? Whatever you want to do, Lord, we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together. Come on.
Oh, great God of highest heaven, occupy my lowly heart. I was blind.